My bad. Oh shit.
That's right. We are back. But no, you said my bad. But we're back, guys. And we're back with a new podcast for this week. If you heard our last podcast, it was our first, so I hope you guys liked it. Do you like it?
If I actually set it up for edits.
That's right. You might not have heard it before, but yeah. So if you haven't heard it before and we did not publish it, this is our first podcast.
Yeah. Welcome to the Culture Show.
That's right. And we are going to talk about something that everybody's been talking about recently, especially this week. We're going to talk about Bitcoin. We're going to talk about the crash of Bitcoin.
And we are joined by two special guests.
That's right.
We have
two special guests with polarizing views.
Yes.
That's right. One is a Bitcoin enthusiast who loves Bitcoin and loves to, how to say,
mine it, I don't know.
Everything, right?
Everything, yes.
Everything about Bitcoins. He loves Bitcoin.
He bleeds Bitcoin.
That's right. And the other one is a very old school
retro businessman.
Successful businessman who does not take Bitcoin to...
Actually, I think he doesn't know Bitcoin.
Yes, but after this podcast, we're going to hear their views and then we're going to hear both sides of the story and we're going to make up our own mind about it as well, right? Because I myself, I don't really know much about Bitcoin, honestly. I just know it's something that earns a lot of people a lot of money, but...
Earn some people a lot of money.
A lot of people a lot of money, I guess, but not me because I haven't have a single Bitcoin. But you have a Bitcoin, right?
I have 0.00005.
Nice.
which I've got it from this website to answer some questions and they gave me
but you used to mine Bitcoin, is right?
Oh yeah, I've mined Litecoin before. But that was back in the few years back, and I didn't really do seriously. Like I just idled my computer over the night.
You know what? You could have been.
I could have been a millionaire.
Many times over now, and you could have. And this podcast wouldn't even exist because you'd be so well-to-do, driving your fancy car, and yeah, we would not even be friends. You know what I'm saying? So. Everything happens for a reason. You're still not that rich yet.
No.
But seriously, on a serious note, we're going to dive into Bitcoin and the crash that's happening now. Yes. And whether it's a temporary burst or it's going to be on the up again.
At this point, I don't even know how this conversation is going to go because we never had more than two of us.
That's right. And this is our second podcast.
Yes.
And we have guests. I mean, this is our second podcast officially, but we might be our first because we don't know if we're going to publish the first one. So it's confusing for you guys. But anyway, guys, if you're here joining us, my name is Jay.
And I'm Ip.
And we are here with our weekly podcast. We're just going to talk about weekly...
Issues
that we always talk about anyways. And we're going to share with you guys our views. And if we can, like today, we're going to invite... our guest on the topic.
More guests for more topics of concern.
That's right. Nothing's beyond us. We can talk about anything. This week, Bitcoin. Maybe next week, we're going to talk about makeup. Not so sure. Mm-hmm. And we have some, you know, girls in the studio with us, maybe.
But there are some really hot topics on makeup these days as well.
That's right.
Apparently, ColourPop is, making a big splash.
I have no idea what you're saying. But anyway, guys, that's for next week. I'll do my homework every, give you like this
Jay,
week's podcast.
Jay will be trying on some makeup soon.
That's right. I think now they're wondering how do I look like some transfer stuff. Okay, anyway, guys, and stay tuned.
At the moment, we don't have any social media presence.
That's right.
At the moment. But you can always follow our...
YouTube channels? No?
Soon to come YouTube channel?
Yeah. Or, you can follow us on Instagram first, maybe?
Soon to come Instagram as well.
All right. Or how about our personal Instagram first?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah?
You can follow at culture_studio.
Oh, no, that's our studio. Or at Jayism, JAEISM. at jason.com, at Jason for my Instagram, and for Ip,
that would be, well, let me see, the name is a bit long.
Or do you want to remain mysterious for now?
Okay, you can always find me at I am here to eat and feast.
That's right. That's a very, very nice Instagram account, because Ip loves to eat, and yes, he loves to show us what is good food and what is not good food. So lots of,
the irony is majority of my food kind of photos is 3 out of 5 stars.
That means you're gonna get good food reviews over there.
I don't know, man.
So if you're just wondering, if you're Singapore, I mean, if you're here in Singapore and you wanna know what to eat, go,
yes,
follow
please
him, and you can get all the food reviews over there.
Do check out our Instagram, and also I think most likely we'll be uploading up to Castbox, I think.
Castbox.
Yep.
Castbox. All right. So
and we will mirror the podcast onto Internet Archive and YouTube.
That's right. And yeah, so if we get anyone listening to our voices now, then we might even put out a YouTube version, as in a video version, yes, for the following episodes, right?
Yes, hopefully.
Hopefully, so guys.
And also in the future, I don't know, it's a long shot, but if you get enough listeners, we can do it live.
Live? Oh my god.
Live video stream and audio.
Yeah, if you reach a certain number. Come on, what's the number?
I don't know.
We must make it very difficult because life is scary.
All right. So, like, if
1,000.
If we land our first silver play button
on YouTube. All right.
We will convert the studio into a live studio.
Yeah, that's good. That's almost impossible to do it this year.
If we can do it by end of 2018, yeah, for sure. I will quit my job.
That's right.
And I will stream.
# make Ip quit his job.
I will be streaming live.
Every week.
Every day.
Oh yeah, maybe every day, right?
Monday to Sunday, I will stream live in the studio.
Nice. And naked. Not naked.
No. Then there will be no sponsors.
Oh, no, there will be a lot of clothes sponsors, like # Ip needs clothes. Yeah, anyway guys, so let's dive into the topic for today. Bitcoin. We are going to introduce our guest. First up is a young, handsome...
One is young,
and the other is young, but not that young. As in young at heart. Yeah, super young at heart.
Yes.
So, first, we have old school, successful businessman.
Yes, he's getting his stuff ready.
Yes,
and then next, coming in the room is Crypto Gear.
Yeah, that's right, Crypto Gear. You can find him on YouTube. He helps people with mining issues and then setting up your machine and everything. So he has a lot of knowledge on Bitcoin, and we're gonna pick his brains. So guys, let's go. Let's start our discussion.
All right. So, are you pro? Are you against Bitcoin? Or are you somewhere in the middle?
I can say I'm somewhere in the middle. The reason is because, you know, I still do not know, you know, eventually where this Bitcoin direction will hit. My personal opinion is that, you know, it is a very difficult possibility that, you know, it will be embraced by everyone, especially governments and so on. For the pure reason, you know, because this is kind of a currency, you know, that, you know, doesn't have ownership by any government.
Yes.
And, you know, you can easily hide your identity, you know.
Yes.
Owning these bitcoins and then going through transaction, and eventually, you know, it can easily be used by money launderers, even terrorists, and transferring funds. For this reason, eventually, you know, when you know, all the major governments see this as a threat, they may sit down together, and every one of them can come to an agreement to outlaw it.
So in a way, you are in the middle ground, but you are unsure of what will happen to it.
I'm finding it very difficult to reconcile that eventually, you know, it will be embraced by you know, I mean, governments. You need you need this a governmental support from every country. Correct. To say that, you know, they can accept Bitcoin as a kind of a form of currency, then Bitcoin can become something, you know, huge. But if, let's say, you know, there's a possibility that one day they may outlaw it for the reasons I just mentioned, then it will become nothing. So whoever, you know, has spent all these efforts, you know, trading or even mining these coins, it will become worthless.
Yes.
You see, and the other thing is, now everyone knows, you know, in the world, the US dollar is the leading trading currency.
Yes.
If you are going to undermine the importance of the US dollar, I think the first thing is that the US government will not allow that to happen.
Correct.
Because the US government has been, you know, operating in a deficit for years, for donkey years.
Yes.
So where does the money come from? You know, it's not only from loans or from, the friendly countries like China and so on. You know, they are printing money without having, you know, to be responsible. And the currency is still holding strong is because, you know, so many governments, people are holding this currency, you cannot afford for the currency to collapse. But if, let's say, another form of currency can take over to become the main trading currency, then where will the US dollar hit? So eventually, you know, US itself will get into trouble.
But in a sense, for US dollar versus Bitcoin, they have the same idea. Their value is created out of nothing.
Yeah. So US is in control of their own currency.
Correct. And we all trust that
do
US...
Do they allow another currency to take over, which they cannot control? They will not allow.
Correct.
You know, that's my opinion. Correct.
Okay, so right now the China, right, they want to go towards paperless, right? Like Alibaba or this Alipay, they try to do like paperless.
Oh, but they ban Bitcoins.
Yeah. So no Bitcoin. Mm. So but let's say they use blockchain technology to do their own. Would it happen?
They
let's
will.
Say US do their own.
Blockchain is definitely happening, but the cryptocurrency is not.
I fully agree with you.
Blockchain
has no problem.
It's like the road, man.
It's a good invention.
Yeah, it's a road. You know, you want to build a road, but then you don't want to build. You don't want to specify the cars. The cars is like the coins in this case.
Yeah.
Your Bitcoin is one model. Another model is Ethereum.
Yeah.
The other model is Litecoin. But I think eventually the government will go into the state coin, like a Singapore coin, US coin.
There has a blockchain technology behind it.
Yes. So instead of giving us physical money like they do, because you actually lose money when you make money. Like when you when you mint the coin.
Minus 0.0. How many?
You lose money. Yeah.
Fully agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it's digital, you don't need to lose the money because you need the infrastructure anyway. Like you need to build it to do the whole smart nation. So the infrastructure is there already.
I believe, you know, China will one day do that.
The leading.
They will.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, because you need to refresh the notes also. Like, it needs to be refreshed every year from wear and tear.
Okay, so from now to then, right, how many years you think, but will it be very fast, like next 10 years, this thing will happen, or it will be like 50 years down?
It's very difficult to predict. You just imagine, our lifetime. Just imagine, you know, it was not too far away, you know.
Yes.
During the 70s, you know, you don't even, you know, have mobile phones and so on. Correct. And once, you know, this invention comes around, it has been, you know, progressing very fast, you know, from normal mobile phones, you know, without cameras, without, you know, videos. Yes. You just imagine how fast it's gone.
Yeah.
At that time, no one can predict what we have today. So it's something that we can't exactly predict.
But if you have to predict, put a number to it.
What do you think?
What do you think? If you have to put a number to it.
Now, if you are talking about China at this present moment now already, yes, and
halfway there.
Even before they talk about going paperless,
yeah.
I think Singapore was ahead. Declaring that they are going paperless, and then you know they are going to you know use
Singapore lost really.
Yeah, correct. But we lost to them.
Yeah, long ago.
They're so much faster.
Mm.
They start slower, but they are progressing faster.
Mm.
So you can imagine that whatever now China wants to do, it probably will beat the world and be faster than anyone else, even the US.
Mm. So from now to this technology come out, right? Let's ask Crypto Gear. What do you think? How many years do you think this Bitcoin, this inflation will still go on, or is it a rebirth? Is it past its prime?
Actually, this thing, right?
Mm.
Because it's similar to the dot-com bubble that happened that time, lah. Because at that point of time, nobody knew about
internet.
Yeah, so yeah. That's why prices of those tech company was so inflated, because nobody know where to value the shares of this company, so that's why it went up so high.
Mm.
So similarly now in this case Bitcoin, we are also seeing a case where it went up to almost $20,000 at one point of time.
Yes.
And that was because people they are greedy, they are buying because it is going up. Because actually a right investor should buy when the price is low, not when the price is high. But we have cases of people who are buying when the prices is going up, because they are trying to do some momentum trading there. So they try to buy when the price go up and try to drive up the demand and make it go even higher. And yeah, so that was what happened to Bitcoin, how it became $20,000. Then after that, soon after that, people realized that actually Bitcoin is one of the most outdated crypto coin. It's the first coin.
Yes,
so its technology is the worst, it is the slowest, and the transaction fee is the highest. So actually to say, if you want to compare Bitcoin to Litecoin, one Bitcoin transaction is around $15. So
these days with the current
it doesn't make
price,
sense.
Yep.
If you want to use Bitcoin to buy coffee, it doesn't make sense, because coffee only costs $5. But you pay $15 just to use Bitcoin to transact. So in there, your coffee became $20. Mm. So it doesn't make practical sense to use Bitcoin for day-to-day trading. And it can only handle 4 transactions per second. Imagine if the whole world use Bitcoin, it will jam up the whole system lah. So there's actually a lot of other coins that are not priced as high, but the technology is much newer, faster and cheaper to use lah. So if you tell me Bitcoin is so high, it's just because of its brand, and also of people just buying it because it's going up.
So is it right to say that we should focus on other coins now? Like now we should buy other coins, or it's gonna be the same thing?
It's okay. Although I said that, right, but the other coins are all related to Bitcoin.
Oh.
That means it's just like how the other markets are related to Dow and Jones.
Mm.
It's like when the US market go down, all the other market will follow. So in this case, when Bitcoin go down, all the other coins will also go down.
Mm.
Okay, I have one question. So what do you think about, you know, why is Bitcoin being driven to this present price now? Has it anything to do with MLM marketing? You can see that, you know, all those that are actually, you know, running this scheme, they are using some kind of MLM marketing. So in order to participate, you know, you cannot pay US dollar, you know, or pay Sing currency, but you have to buy Bitcoin. That is the requirement in order to join in.
Correct.
Correct. So yeah. Otherwise, not many retailers or things, you know, are making use of Bitcoin. Yeah. They're not making use of Bitcoin also is because of the reason that it's fluctuating too much.
Yeah.
That it doesn't make sense for you to admit, you know, that as a kind of like a currency to buy a service or to buy a product.
Mm.
Right. You know, let's say now you're a service company. Right. So you say, okay, you know, I'm selling this service, you can pay by Bitcoin. You know, today you at the time, you know, where the value of the Bitcoin say is at 10,000, right? And you accept the currency as a kind of exchange, but tomorrow when you wake up, you know, Bitcoin has dropped 30%.
Yeah.
So rightful, I mean, businessmen, they wouldn't want to take this risk.
Yeah.
They are running a good business, so why should they want to take this risk? Correct. But yet, Bitcoin is in demand is because of MLM marketing, you see. People are, you know, making sure that if you want to join this scheme, you have to first acquire Bitcoin. So they artificially created a demand.
Yes, I agree. Actually, that is also one of the reasons why the price of Bitcoin is going up. Yeah.
So there'll come a time when, you know, it is not being embraced widely, and then it lost its lackluster. And especially now, if the coin is starting to steer downwards, you know, even these people that are trying to continue to build this kind of MLM marketing scheme, and then they find there's lesser interest, you know, of people wanting to participate, it can suddenly go down altogether, and then the coin will lose its value. Am I right?
Okay, so another question is, right, let's say if we can set up our own Bitcoin, our own coin currency, we can, right?
You can, yes.
So what is the one thing that we want to change, or how can we make it ours different from Bitcoin that ours will succeed? Let's say if you have a chance to do it, we set up our own. Should it be like...
For the coin to succeed, to be honest, there's no two way. You must be able to convince the general public,
yes,
the governments, to embrace this as a form of exchange. You know, that means it has to be accepted by people very commonly. And then, you know, the fluctuation in the value cannot be like what it is now. There must be some kind of control. That means, governments will intervene to make sure that
no one is pushing the price up.
The fluctuation doesn't go above a certain percentage. Otherwise, it's scary. Otherwise, even if the government wants to participate and wants to approve it as a kind of a form of a currency, they can't. It's too speculative.
So at this point of time, there's no way that we can set up a Bitcoin system that is successful unless all the governments come together, say, let's do this Bitcoin system, we must all agree, sign the agreement, then we can move forward. There is no individual.
For me, I personally think that all the world's governments, to have to come to a consensus, then it will work.
Then can move forward.
Yeah, but to imagine that this will happen is fat hope. Like I mentioned earlier, why should the US want to embrace this? You are going to set their currency aside now.
Yes.
You're turning, towards a new form of a currency.
It's almost the same like Euro, right?
Yeah.
Like the Euro, then everybody come together.
Britain doesn't want the Euro because of the value of their pound.
Yeah.
But then now you see also now Euro is taking a big hit. Because the countries, they are not performing.
Of course, it's taking a big hit. You just imagine, now in Europe, you can see so many of the countries actually are almost bankrupted. Greece, Portugal, Spain, Italy, alright, France is not doing well. So the only one that is still Germany. Okay is Germany.
They're doing very well, very very well, and they want to pull out, right? The last
I don't think they can afford for the EU to be dismantled lah. Because it will not be good for peace.
Yeah.
When you're union together, you are stronger. You have kind of like a
common
voice power. You are still a respected bloc. It's just like Southeast Asia, if you're not part of ASEAN, who will listen to all the countries individually?
Correct.
Right. So, you come together as a group, you have 10 countries, you represent a certain number of population. Correct?
Yeah.
So the combined GDP of the 10 countries, it meant something.
Yes.
You have more consolidated power, kind of. Okay, let's talk about different things since crypto gets very silent now. I want to ask you, since now, right, now Bitcoin is going down, right? But there's still ways to earn money from this, right? Is there any ways we can earn money besides buying the Bitcoin? Oh, what do you think it's?
Because, okay, because this cryptocurrency is related to mining, right? So now with the Bitcoin crash in price, actually a lot of people are panic selling their mining hardware. So it is a good time to pick up such hardware because actually prices are still going up, but people that are not very well versed in this field, they might think that, oh, Bitcoin is going to crash, so they faster go and sell it.
But if everyone is selling, then who is buying?
There must be someone gaining from this.
Yeah, there are people that run mining rig farms and stuff like that. So they buy a lot of all this hardware to do mining.
They're selling off this. They are buying
from people who are panic selling at lower prices.
Are you buying?
Trade secret, man.
So that's one of the ways that besides buying the Bitcoin that you can get into Bitcoin business. Right? Other than that, is there any other ways that you see that?
So this is Martin's rice bono. he should not be sharing.
Yeah.
That's true. But the thing is, how many of them know what to get, you see? That's the key thing. Because I'm sure there's many stories, right, we heard also, that people buy their own equipment and then they try to do their own, right? But they fail. In the end, you still have to go to someone who has the knowledge how to set it up.
I'm saying, if let's say there are anybody that is interested to set up and so on, go to the expert, go to Mr. Martin.
That's right.
He will
go
be able to help
crypto gear.
Right, at a very small fee.
That's right. Because it's his passion to help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you have any, hardware that, you don't know how to dispose,
crypto
dispose
gear.
It to him.
Yeah.
Crypto gear.
If you got spare bitcoins, give it to crypto gear.
Yeah, right. So, but for now, any other things that we can do for Bitcoin? Why are you still in Bitcoin now? Are you still mining?
I'm still mining, but I'm gonna do other kinds of mining
You switch coins?
Yes. Actually, okay, because now Bitcoin is very uncertain and we don't know when it will go down even more, but I feel that there is still some demand to drive it up some more. If you are talking about mining, right, it's actually very safe because even if Bitcoin crash, you can still sell your hardware, computer hardware for at least 80% of its price. So the risk involved is actually very low. But if let's say you are talking about trading Bitcoin, it is a very high risk time to do it, but also high risk means high gains. If you look at Bitcoin Cash, just over yesterday, it has gained 29.5%. So imagine you put in $10,000, you'll be getting $2,950 back in one
just
day.
Just in one day.
Yeah.
But how do you sell? If you want to sell,
that's the problem. The exchange don't have the cash.
There is an exchange for Bitcoin. It's called Coinbase. So from there, you can exchange your Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin for $10.
Do they have the money to give out everybody?
Yes, they have. They are so rich that because for every transaction, they are charging 1.5%. So can you imagine the amount of people that's buying and selling? So actually, the best way is to set up an exchange for cryptocurrency.
I'm not sure. No, you see, if let's say now you are saying that there must be a form of exchange, you see. And let's say I set up an exchange.
Yes.
Correct. I'm actually, in effect, marrying people off. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
You want to sell, so I have to have the buyer.
Yes.
Yeah. Then I marry you at just 1.5%. I won't be buying it and keeping it myself.
Yes.
So,
no. For Coinbase, it's different. It is not really a marketplace. It's a
buy and hold.
It is a how do I explain it? It is not like a normal stock market where you set up for a buyer and seller. So
it's like the currency exchanger, basically.
Yeah, they are more like the.
You give Sing Dollar, you get Bitcoin.
Yes, they are more like a money changer like that. So
but
you give them Bitcoin.
So money changer also the same thing, but they'll come to a stage you can't take the risk. You see now let's say. Okay, if you are talking
sell,
about
right?
small amount, we if I am having say $100,000 and I want to convert into to Sing currency, if I walk to a money changer,
he
doesn't accept.
Yeah.
He said, no, you hold on. So you have $100,000 you know, to exchange to Sing dollars. Let me check whether there is any tickers.
Yeah.
And if there's tickers, he'll give you at a very good rate.
Mm. Okay. Because why it's like that, right? It's because actually I think around 60% of the whole world's Bitcoin, right, is held by China. So I think it's only a few rich people that have this majority of Bitcoin.
Mm.
The rest of the people only have very small amount of Bitcoin. So
yes,
actually they can make this, they can make this whole Bitcoin crash by, if these few rich people decide to sell all their Bitcoin, they can actually cause Bitcoin to crash also. Don't even need anything else. They just decide to cash out all their Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin will crash already.
But if they cash out, who is gonna pay them?
this Coinbase is willing to take it up.
But where would they take in still? Like, let's say we set up a
Exchange.
Let's say we set up an exchange now, right? And then I want to take in Bitcoin when it's going up.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense, right? You sell to me, Bitcoin is going up, I want to take in as much as possible. Now Bitcoin is going to crash, right?
Yeah.
You want to sell to me, but who am I going to sell to? Then I'm giving you money.
No, he will just take it, but he'll give you less and less money. The more you sell, the less I give you. So maybe he will accept even until Bitcoin costs $1, he will still take one Bitcoin.
Oh, because in the hope that it will still go up in the
yeah
end,
la, yeah
people
la.
Will then
yeah.
buy from
because
him.
Because there will still be people that buy on. Because the moment it drop, let's say now 8,000, then it drop until 6,000. I still buy from you. There will be people on the other side that wants to buy at 6,000 because they see the value in it.
So if it's this case, right, then we should set up exchange, right?
No,
right.
We should set up exchange not to SGD, to other currency, other cryptocurrency. So we don't touch the...
How? But that means when people sell to you, you sell back to them in another currency. You have to give them cash, right?
There is two kind. One is the Bitcoin to cash.
Mm.
The another one is like Bitcoin to Litecoin, Bitcoin to Bitcoin Cash, or Bitcoin to Ripple.
Which is what currently recently the Bitcoin owner, one of the founders, he sold all his Bitcoins, right?
Yeah.
To transfer to Bitcoin Cash.
Yes.
So that's what he did.
It's a fork from Bitcoin.
It's a fork from Bitcoin.
Yeah. So you because it's open source, right, you can actually take the code and then make it into your own stuff. Like your own version.
Uh-huh.
And Bitcoin Cash has received enough momentum to reach 1,007, which is even higher price than Ethereum, who has been around for longer.
Mm.
Because people trust, they trust that Bitcoin Cash will go up. Because people, the rich guys are backing it. So it's because of these people, they believe in that they will keep the thing floating up.
So maybe I will explain a bit what is a fork. So usually a cryptocurrency, right, let's say a Bitcoin, right, is a blockchain, right?
Mm.
So from block number one all the way until block maybe 400,000 blocks.
Mm.
So when a fork happens, right, it is like the original coin, Bitcoin, will still continue to go straight. But if people, the developer decide that there's some need to change the code, which in this case, okay, because Bitcoin, right, the blocks are in very low memory space. That's why the transaction fees are so high.
Mm.
So Bitcoin Cash, right, aims to solve this problem by doubling the memory. So instead of like 2 meg, it becomes 4 megabyte. So the transaction block is higher. So you won't create the problem of having high transaction fee. So when a fork, what happens is at a certain number of block, when they declare that this fork is going to happen, it's going to branch out into another chain or blockchain. That means whatever from this point prior to this point where it forked, right, the code, the information and transaction information are all the same. But once it fork out, it is on its own already. So from this point onwards, it becomes its own coin. So actually with all the codes, right, you can actually rewrite your code and say that, okay, at this block number, I'm going to create my own coin. So I'm going to fork away from Bitcoin and call myself something else. So actually you see there's so many fork now. Bitcoin Gold, Bitcoin Platinum, Bitcoin Silver. You can search, they're all around, and some of them are already listed already.
Listed?
Yeah.
As in listed?
That means Bitcoin Cash is like listed on Coinbase also. So you can buy and sell Bitcoin Cash also with Sing Dollar. Then listed as in you can use exchange to exchange. So I can use Litecoin to exchange for Bitcoin Gold, Bitcoin Silver.
But I don't get it, because now we established that Bitcoin
if not backed by a few countries, right, will not succeed, right? So why are they still doing new Bitcoins, and why is people still backing all these new Bitcoins when the crash is already happening? You know what I mean? Why are people still
it's like
more and more?
It's like though the old days, when they first dug up bronze and gold, there's no value. Like even before money was invented, money as a concept has no value. It only has convenience only.
Okay.
Because it's easier to trade instead of having 5 counts, it's easier to trade with 5 seashells. Because it's very difficult to bring 5 counts, ma. But it's very easy to bring 5 seashells. But the thing is, once a seashell becomes 10,000,
then difficult.
Then it becomes a nightmare already. So that's how money came about, like paper notes. Paper notes only came about because all these substitutes, all this precious metal and the seashells, they were too cumbersome. And then now I think what we're seeing is the same thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, people are just digging things up from the ground and declaring it to be precious. But the good thing is, because it's mathematically created, there is actually a finite amount.
But the difference is that, you know, governments recognize.
Yes.
It becomes legal tender.
Yes.
So when government doesn't recognize, it's not legal tender.
Yes.
Correct. So then why are they still...
That means it will be, you know, anything like antique, you understand? You know, so I have this antique, you think it's worth money, you know, you pay me this.
Yes.
Correct. Whereas, you know, now the currency we have, is legal tender, is supported and backed by governments.
By all the governments.
So if last time, right, every country managed to come together and say, let's do cash, right? They might also come together and say, let's do Bitcoin, right? It might happen, right?
No, already just now earlier we explained already. Why should they be, supporting? Why do they support? Now, if they support this, they risk the possibility that people use this to launder money.
Yes.
Correct? Then they also risk the possibility that terrorists will use this mode to transfer funds.
Which they have.
Correct?
Yeah.
And then to the US government, you know, there's a risk that people will sideline the US dollar, the importance of the US dollar. You know, if they don't use US dollar as the mode of exchange, then the US government is not able to print as much money as they need.
Okay,
similar point.
Yes.
Talking about this. So is there any conspiracy involved? Because if like what Mr. Lau say, that it can be used to launder money, and it can be used for drug money, for black market, then why didn't the government immediately ban it? Because maybe part of the government is using it. Maybe the US government is using it to fund terrorists or stuff like that.
Which has happened many times in
and it is possible.
The past, yeah.
If you say until it's so bad, why isn't it banned until now? It's been how many years? Yeah. 10 years since Bitcoin.
That's a good point.
But I think there is just too many...
He's saying that it's bad, but it's still not banned after so many years.
There's too much money inside, I think, at this point.
Plus, all the rich people are backing it.
Yeah.
Right?
You see, we all know that, you know, in the history of the United States,
2009.
There's many times, even the US government is involved in scams. Authorizing drug deals and so on, you know, in the name of what? So it could be right at this moment that there's still the usefulness.
Yeah.
It's still not, you know, threatening, you know, their interests. So they have not stepped in. But I believe, the day when it has threatened their interests, they're not going to allow it to happen.
Okay, so this other question I wanted to ask before this topic, right, is the crash of the US dollar, which a lot of people say is going to happen because of the debt that they incurred, and then China that has so much of their debts, holding their debts, everything, which they say if China wants to kill US dollar, they can actually
do it.
They won't.
If they
won't. No one in the world wants the US dollar to collapse, because so many people are holding US dollar. even the loans to China is in US dollar. So how can China afford that the US dollar collapse?
So is it safe to say no matter how much debt they have, which is going to be trillions of dollars a year,
already trillion.
They don't have to pay back first, and then it will just keep piling up and piling up. So they will never, the US dollar will never crash. Is it safe to say that? Because if they will never crash, right, then they will come to the scenario where they don't even care about Bitcoin, right? You get what I'm trying to say? Unless one country who is planning this thing to want to crash the US currency,
who
to
can?
Get China.
Who can?
China is the only player now.
They are only number two.
Currently, lah.
And they need the US dollar.
More years?
No, they need the US dollar.
Do they
dollar.
Need the US dollars?
At this point,
why do they need? Because they signed a BRICS agreement already with Russia, India, China. They're not going to use US dollars to transact anymore.
I think the point where China would want to depart from US is when they finish the high speed rail system. I think that is when, at that point, they will unify the whole of Asia as one country. That is when the point will cut off, and then we'll all be using China coin.
Bitcoin, China Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Bitcoin.
China coin under Alipay.
Yeah, I think at that point, when they complete the full system, the full high-speed rail system where they connect every single Asian continent.
Wait, before US was the main currency, was it pound?
Yes, it was a British pound.
It was the main one, right? The superpower, right?
Yes.
Then it became US.
After World War II, then US came to power. But for the longest time, British pounds was a de facto
currency.
But not for the whole world. It's only for the territories of British. And those that want to trade with Britain has to use pounds.
Yeah. So in the future, the next superpower will be China.
But at that time, if in those days, if you want to buy Britain pounds, you cannot use your own currency because it's worthless. You have to use things like gold.
Oh, okay.
Which everyone has a value on it.
But after the US took over, then they broke away from the gold system.
The US was backed by gold as well.
For a start.
Yeah, for a long time. I think...
Until oil came.
The 70s, I think. Yeah, then after that, then it is... I mean, they say the gold is still there, but I personally don't believe. I don't think there's enough gold anyway in this world to
back... No, they signed something that they stopped. Using the
yeah, then if they become the Federal Reserve, then they're no longer backed by
gold,
controlled by the government. They are entity by themselves. Mm. Yeah, but anyway, that's too much of a conspiracy. Yeah, but I think like the China one, which is more real for us, I think it will happen when it's all linked up. There will be no more. Because like now, even Korea and Japan, they can speak fluent Chinese. Like learning Chinese is no longer a barrier to hide the reach. It's like English. If China can convert everybody in Beijing to speak English in under a few years, the whole world can do the same. Or at least half the world can do the same. They can all learn Mandarin. In fact, Africa is speaking a lot of Chinese now.
Is it?
Yeah. China is not making walls in Africa. China is building schools, building hospitals, building roads. And I think now the African is in the third generation under China's so-called generous care. So they all believe that the Chinese is the one that will save them. And if the African Union, they were to start to use Bitcoin as their currency, which I think they could, if a form of coin can exist in a phone, that means using the phone as the mining gear and the transacting gear, that will change. That will shift.
But that's a bit weird, right? If you can mine for cash on your phone, then you have to work,
right? Imagine your phone, right? It has enough computing power to compete with our computer 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's portable. So 10 years in the future.
Yeah, but I mean like you don't have to work, no? So now like,
that's
like
why you
don't mine
you
for
need
your
to,
cash.
You need to understand why it's mining in the first place.
Yeah.
Because mining is like verifying transaction. It's like I think I explained this before. Like when you go online, you buy a shirt with your credit card. You go through the bank, and the bank charge the merchant fees. But when you are doing mining, when the miners are mining, they are verifying this transaction. So there's no need for this middleman, and there's no need for this charge. So this money goes out to pay the miner.
and you need the miners to keep the network up. If not, your network is useless and then your value drops.
Yeah, but if everybody is mining for it,
then your network is strong. So your natural, so it doesn't matter if a group stops mining. It doesn't matter. The network is strong enough to withstand this kind of heat. So that's why at a point where your phone can be mining 24/7 and you still can use it as per normal, that's when Bitcoin will become real money.
It's very hard to understand. It's just like why $50 note can buy me maybe a pair of shoes. Yeah, a pair of shoes. Mm. Why?
The government says so. It's legal tender, it's not run by humans like us, right?
It is.
The government say, okay, my note $50 is worth this amount by the government.
But you trust.
But you see, for currency, minus the US currency, many are still backed up by gold.
Hmm.
Correct?
Or petrol.
You want to print, you know, a certain amount of money, then you have to, you know, pledge the value in gold. Then you get the permission to print the currency. If otherwise, it will be like what happened in Indonesia, you know, some years back, where, you know, you can print another exact same batch of Indonesian rupiah, but your money will be devalued.
Yeah.
Correct? Because you didn't back up, so you still can print. But immediately, yeah, the burden is shared by everyone, you know, in the country or even outsiders who are holding the Indonesian rupiah. That's how it works, you see.
Yeah, so I come back to this point. So a further question is, what makes gold able to pledge this? Because of its rarity, right? What gives gold this value?
It's trust, people's trust. They trust
What gives gold this piece of gold bar worth that amount of money? You see, this is a further question we never ask ourselves.
Who put the value on it,
No, nobody put a value on. See, the problem about money is, in the old days, a dollar bill is equivalent to a dollar worth of gold.
Yeah.
So in those days, you can imagine there is two pieces of gold that is worth a dollar. That is a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
It's something tangible for you to go and feel and touch. But then now, because of how rapid things change, there's no more tangible things to an abstract thought already. Currency is actually an abstract thought these days. It's no longer tangible.
It's this thought that is very hard to understand.
Yeah.
And it comes back to my point. Because of how rare gold is, that's why it's valuable, right? But we still don't know why it's priced like that, right? But in fact, actually, Bitcoin, right, it has a finite amount, like what Yiping mentioned. You can only mine that amount of Bitcoin. And once, I think, in 2022 something, right, Bitcoin can never be mined already.
Yeah.
And then the amount of Bitcoin is there. The supply is fixed already. You see, gold can be rare, right? But actually, you can still actually find real gold in some parts of the world somewhere that is not discovered.
And
but
still recycle.
For Bitcoin, once it's stopped, the supply stop, it's stopped already.
So, I think everything is supply and demand. You understand? It's supply and demand. Correct? It's just like oil.
Yes.
You know, when, you know, you, everyone knows that oil is $100 a barrel, so it creates a lot of interest to let people want to explore, you know, and find oil. So when they find oil, you know, they can exchange it for $100 a barrel. Correct? And then because so many people, you know, went into searching for oil, so it created too many people harvesting for the oil. You understand? Exploring for the oil. And then finally you find, you know, so much oil that demand cannot set up. There's an oversupply. So when there's an oversupply, the market crash. Alright? So gold is the same thing. You know, if everyone start mining gold, you know, there'll be an oversupply.
Correct. So when, for crypto gear, what he says is that there's a finite supply, so it will not have this problem, is it? But then everyone can create their own coins. So there will still be infinite.
But there's no trust in the other coins.
Yeah. It's just like I pledge gold, right? But I start to say I'm gonna use another mineral to pledge. But if nobody believes that value, then
but this,
cannot be
this
used.
This belief, right, is backed by players, right? Like easily, let's say if another bunch of country rich people want to back Bitcoin Cash, then Bitcoin Cash will be the next Bitcoin. And then after suddenly everybody say, I'm tired of Bitcoin Cash, I want to back like cash or something. Bitcoin like coin.
It can happen.
Yeah, so this belief is based on the media, based on what people are investing in. Right?
Yeah, also.
You see, you remember I forward you know one of the WhatsApp messages regarding, you know...
The monkeys.
Yeah, the monkeys.
Mm.
It's the same thing, you see. You understand? You know, when you sell in the market and, you know, this guy, you know, artificially create, you know, some kind of like demand. So the moment you have it, he snap up. You have it, he snap up. In the end, it will create a false belief that, you know, actually, you know, if now you have it, no, you're going to make money, no. So the moment you hear that, you know, there is this availability, you want to snap it because you know that somebody is going to pay a higher price to buy it.
Which is what happened for Hello Kitty in McDonald's also. Everybody queued for the Hello Kitty, right? Because they made the news that, hey, somebody bought the Hello Kitty for $300.
Yeah.
Everybody started queuing for Hello Kitty to sell. And then after that, I don't know who keeps buying Hello Kitty for $300, but everybody keep buying McDonald's. It's the same concept, right?
Yeah.
And then they did the same for Yeezys also. Right?
So that's why cryptocurrency, the same thing. You see, all those people, you cannot pay money, US dollar or Sing dollars, to join.
Mm.
You have to own the cryptocurrency in order to be admitted.
So from this, at least this
so that there's a kind of artificial demand created.
Yes.
That's why it was driven to 20,000, which is really ridiculous price.
Yeah, I wish I would have bought Bitcoin when it was only a few cents back then. I still remember.
Then you won't be doing the podcast.
Still remember those days. You know, like it's only 7-6 years back. I remember seeing it, Bitcoin having a value. It was like, can man.
Yeah.
Then now it's $20,000. Walao eh.
Yeah.
The one who created this is a genius.
Right? He's a genius.
You know, how he, you know, eventually, you know, the same people are laughing, you know, to the bank.
Yeah. But I don't think he will, I don't think even he will know this will reach this value. Well, when he first reached $100, it was already beyond anyone's imagination already. Then suddenly,
20k.
Thanks to the mass media, it became 20k.
Correct. And people buying because it was going up.
Yeah. Back then, it was still an underground thing. You know, you cannot, like, nobody knows what it is. You have to go into specific forums and ask about this kind of questions. Like back then, I could mine with a CPU.
Yes.
That is how early it was, you know, when I was looking into it. And these days, if you try to put a CPU to mine, it will take you thousands of years just to get one coin. And by then, there's no more coin left to mine.
Interesting. So, what's our conclusion for this talk? Bitcoin will be successful. I still don't have any idea actually.
I don't think
after all this right, it's like
okay. Specifically, Bitcoin the Bitcoin itself So CryptoKitties, do you think Bitcoin will still be relevant? Bitcoin itself.
I honestly think that there are better coins out there that is better than Bitcoin. So I don't think Bitcoin will be lasting But then again, because the other coin depend on Bitcoin, so if Bitcoin crashed, the other coins wouldn't survive as well.
Yeah, I think there will be other coins in the future that would be more powerful than a Bitcoin, but until then, Bitcoin will still be de facto.
So now, right, what we need to do is look out for the next powerful coin, and when it's very young, you have to invest in it.
You cannot. There's already hundreds already.
But we have to have a sharp eye,
Yeah, there are some. There are some very creative one, Like actually Ethereum is a very good example, because Ethereum is like used in smart contract. So they use the blockchain technology for people to create contracts. So that is really a very useful application. And it is not used like a cash like that. like a currency like that. It's more used for this kind of... Anyway, blockchain technology was meant for this. It wasn't meant to be used for trading
as a money
exchange.
Yeah.
So people misuse it. That's why the price...
So what was the original, the purpose of this blockchain technology?
It's for all these smart contract. Like, that time I sent you
No, I think the original
has a lot of application.
It's to replace
many,
cash.
Many
it's to make it cashless. But
no. Maybe that is Bitcoin, but
yeah, Bitcoin itself
is
yes.
Not like that. There are many other technology.
So when it was first invented, what was the purpose of this blockchain technology?
To make.
When you say create contracts.
No, I think blockchain technology is not to create contracts, but I think.
Oh, there's a lot of applications.
Yeah, applications are, but
because
Bitcoin.
Of it.
Bitcoin is to make it cashless.
So maybe. Can you name a few of the usefulness apart from being used as a
auto tax
form of currency?
Auto tax. If blockchain is integrated into every NETS and credit card terminal in Singapore, they will know what you're buying, where you're buying, and they can just tax you. Because you can't remove an item in the blockchain.
Yes.
It stays there indefinitely.
Yes.
So if every single payment point, we don't need to use a state coin, but if every single terminal, every single payment, every single electronic taps comes with blockchain technology, at any point of time, they will know what you spend on, where you spend on, how you spend on. And then they can tax you automatically. Mm. But they tax you cash, they don't tax you
Bitcoin.
With...
Yeah, with the coin.
Yeah. But that is one of the things of blockchain. The good and bad thing, yeah. They can track you indefinitely. And
so,
there's nothing you can do about it.
So if that's the case, it'll be in the interest of the government to use this technology to, to monitor, all the people's, movement and expenditure and etc.
It's perfect for a communist country, actually, or a dictator. It's perfect.
China.
It's a perfect system, yeah, because they know everything.
Mm.
With China's the WeChat, they have this social point system. For example, if you're in a debt, your social point system goes down, services around you, the prices goes up.
Mm?
Yeah, because of this social points, because every merchant that has the WePay, right, comes with recognizing the social points a person has. So
that makes it so difficult. If I'm in debt already, then you still charge me higher.
Yeah. So that's the screw up thing. When your friends around you they have high points, right? But if they continue to interact with you, their points goes down. So they will not want to interact with you anymore. So they'll kick you aside. And then your points goes lower because you're losing friends.
No way, seriously.
Yeah, yes.
That's dumb. That's such a vicious cycle. Then you get poorer and poorer and poorer, and then you have no friends.
No, but you think about it the other way. If because you're so afraid of this happening, you will never ever want to do anything to screw yourself. It's a perfect system for government to control you. It's perfect. It's a self-feeding system.
Yeah, anyway, I saw this one of the users. There's many, many users. One of it is, like I said, smart contract, because once a certain condition is met, right, then it can be used to, for example, like companies want to give out dividend. So once a certain like a condition is met, then a dividend can be paid out via the blockchain technology. Then actually, you can also use in governance, like what Yiping say, because all transaction is publicly available. So if everyone uses the blockchain technology, the government can monitor what people are spending on. And they can control, they can do the taxing also. Then it can also be used for supply chain auditing. Yeah, let me see what it says.
Okay, on that note, we should take a break here first. All right, so that's a wrap up. And I hope next week you guys will tune in again.
Yes, please tune in.
I think
in,
next
guys.
Week is only just the two of us. It's gonna be sad.
Might not be the two of us. I don't know. Anyway, we might have other plans.
Oh, and newsflash. Jay got his Mavic Air.
Oh yeah, if you guys happen to hear the first episode, we're talking about the Mavic Air, and it came, and we haven't flew it yet. So if you guys are interested to find out more about Mavic Air, we might be dropping a YouTube video on the Culture Studios YouTube channel, KULTURE_STUDIOS. So check it out, maybe next week, Wednesday.
We could fly the drone indoors.
Indoors? Mm-hmm. Or maybe outdoors? Both.
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 Both. Alright, both it is.
That's right. So drop by the Culture YouTube channel.
Yep, so if you're interested, just top of the website and take a look at Culture and also try a bit of bounce.
Yeah, bit of bounce. Hey, can they comment on cast on
yes.
the they can comment as well?
Yes.
Yeah guys, leave your comments, you know, let me know. Let us know whether you like our voices or
leaks. The best way is to leave a review. Give five stars, you know. Thumbs up.
That's right. 5 stars. We love 5-star reviews.
Yes.
No, that's what we're doing this for. Even if it's only one of you listening to us. This good enough.
Oh, and also we'll be uploading to Apple iTunes as well. In addition to Castbox.
Do they have to pay?
No.
Don't have to pay, it's free,
free
guys.
All
just,
free.
Just listen to our voices and our topics, you know. And let us know what you want to hear more from us.
Yes, that's true. So with that,
signing out.